This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's get going. Hour three of our NHL draft coverage here on WGR. Joe DiBiase, Brayton Wilson, soon to be joined by Paul Hamilton. Coverage of the NHL draft on WGR, brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this, by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. We have Owen Power coming up with a Zoom media call with the Buffalo media that we'll carry live here on WGR in just over 10 minutes. But here's the Sharks pick first.
From the SAP Center is Doug Wilson Jr., Director of Scouting. Doug, the floor is yours.
The San Jose Sharks are proud to select from your garden, Sweden, William Eklund.
All right, William Eklund. Very popular prospect on Sabres Twitter, this guy. They did not get their hands on him, assuming they don't make a deal with the Sharks, mm-hmm. which I wouldn't see how that would happen. Not a surprise that he didn't fall to 13, but
no.
That was the best case scenario, I guess, of what was still on the board.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't think William Eklund was going to fall any further than where he did to number 7. I mocked him at number 7 because I think that there was that chance that he was going to fall. I think it was either he was going to go 1 to Buffalo, 3 to Anaheim, or he was going to fall. And he manages to go to 7. I mean, he's a very good dynamic player on that line that he had with the Devils' first-round pick from a year ago, Alexander Holtz. He was the driving force of that line. It wasn't like he was a complimentary piece. He was a driving force. Good playmaker, good sight, good offensive skill, plays the puck real well. And he's one of those guys that he could be a really good two-way player once he gets to that top level of his game. So, hey, the Sharks get a good pick. He goes out west to San Jose, and good for San Jose.
Let's bring in Paul Hamilton now on the Wester Hotline, who is live down at KeyBank Center. Paul, how's it feel to be back in the arena for the draft?
Yeah, it's nice. Even the way I came in through security, it's been well over a year and a half since I've been near the arena floor. Just to walk in that way, it was like almost surreal to be able to come into the rink normally, because we weren't, during the season, we were not allowed down there or anywhere near there. We kind of had to stay up here or up in the stands as far as practice or games. We were not allowed down, near the locker rooms or in the arena floor or anything like that. So just a little bit more normal. So it's going to be nice. And when we do interviews later after the first round, we're going to be right on the arena floor. So that'll be fun just to kind of be down there again.
Yeah. And Paul, we'll only keep you for a few minutes because we know you got to get to the Owen Power press conference coming up in about 10 minutes. Before we get any picks, let's start with the fact that we are at pick 8. And we don't have an Eichel trade. We don't have a Reinhardt trade. Not that that's necessarily be surprising, but how is your view of those potential deals evolving as we get a little bit later into the top 10?
I kind of thought we'd have a Reinhardt deal by now, but some of the picks that you would want have already gone by. So now that those picks have been made by their teams and not traded, I don't know. I don't know if we'd get one tonight or. If you're going to get a first-round pick for Sam Reinhardt, is it going to be in next year's draft or how they're going to look at it? So if they're going to get a pick in this year's draft, I would think it would have to be somewhere in the next two or three. Other than that, I don't know if it would be worthwhile, depending on the prospects you would get, too. You have to put the whole thing together.
Yeah, Paul, and I was mentioning this with Joe and Brendan when Brendan was here. We were talking about maybe the potential of Anaheim feeling more comfortable making a trade once this draft process is over. Because, I mean, they're at number three. They picked up Mason McTavish with that pick. And, you know, maybe they felt more comfortable hanging on to this year's draft pick. But then maybe next year's draft pick is more up for grabs. And maybe a deal could be made easier with the thought that maybe they can be more comfortable getting rid of next year's pick.
Yeah, and the thing about next year is it's a much better draft. The only thing is you don't have draft certainty. I mean, you don't know that, we know we're going to get this player. We know what number pick we're going to get. You know, it's all up in the air for next year, and you could have a lottery pick. You could be picking 20th. Who knows?
By the way, the Los Angeles Kings have just made their selection at 8 overall, and it is Brant Clark. Defenseman from Barrie, right? The Barrie Colts?
Yes, he played in Barrie, and then this year, because the OHL season was done, he went over to Slovakia and played really well over there in the limited action.
All right. Well, Paul, we're
going to... Good pick for the Kings.
We're going to hear from Owen Power in less than 10 minutes here, it looks like. No surprise at all that he went first overall, obviously.
No, he was kind of shy on his interview he did on ESPN. He didn't say much, so hopefully he'll say a little bit more when he's on with us. I was on with the pre-draft interviews a week or so ago, and he was pretty good during that, but he didn't have too much to say in this one. But yeah, we'll be talking to him in about 5 to 10 minutes.
And Paul, I know we've talked about this on the station plenty of times before, but he has said, he didn't answer it in that interview, but he has said in the past, and there have been other like talks of it out there, that he'll return or is leaning towards returning to Michigan for his sophomore season. But, like, I've heard you talk about it, like, it's not really a bad thing. That team's going to have 4 of the top 5 picks from tonight on its team.
That's crazy. How do they not win the national championship if Power goes back there and all 4 of them are there? And that would be Portillo of the Buffalo Sabres. He was drafted by the Sabres. He would be their goaltender. So that would be a very great, good experience for him as far as that goes. So, and that's the thing. A couple of people ask me, do I think the Sabres might go goalie at 13? And honestly, I'm pretty sold on Luukkonen, and I'm pretty encouraged about Portillo and being the number one goaltender for Michigan this year. So I guess I would probably pass on that, taking a goaltender at 13.
Forward would probably be where you'd be looking for 13. It seems like with Power now, I mean, the young defensive group that they have in the organization, it's starting to look like it could be a potential to be the identity of this team in the future.
Yeah, unless there were a defenseman that really dropped, and I haven't seen that happen here, it would be interesting. I mean, a guy like Cole Sillinger might be there, possibly, at 13. That might be somebody that they could sink their teeth into. I don't know. They really didn't tip their hand when we were at the pre-draft press conference and all those neat things. But,
yeah.
That's a guy that possibly could be around when their pick comes up.
All right, Paul, we're about 4 picks away from the Sabres' next selection, and we have Owen Power coming up here, so we'll let you go, and I'm sure we'll talk to you later throughout the night.
We will. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Hamilton down at KeyBank Center, live there on the West Hur Hotline. As we mentioned, we're about 5 minutes away, scheduled from hearing from Owen Power. Brant Clark goes 8th overall to the Los Angeles Kings. That was really the last team I was thinking about for an Eichel trade.
Yep.
If you were getting a top 10 pick. Obviously,
right.
We could talk about Minnesota.
Sure.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Minnesota. We could even talk about the New York Rangers if we really want to.
Man,
Rangers
I don't want
16th.
To. I don't want to, though.
I know.
It's personal vendetta kind of stuff, but that team has just been so annoying through this whole process.
I'm
the fans, some of the reports, the reporters even.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, what do they have to offer? If they're not offering up Lafreniere, I like Minnesota's best offer better.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm down for that, too. I like Rossi. I like Matthew Boldy. If one of those guys, I mean, if both of them are there, that's super awesome. But at least if one of those guys are there, and let's say the 21st or the 22nd pick, whatever they want to declare it as, if both of those assets are there, that would still be a fairly good deal for the Sabres, and along with the other pieces that they're going to get. I mean, we've heard some speculation that maybe a Kevin Fiala would be there. He's a restricted free agent, so he needs a new contract.
Yep.
But he's a guy that is a good, high-tempo, fast guy. He scores goals, and he produces really well. So certainly, you know, the time is kind of dwindling down here for a potential trade of, for either Eichel or Reinhart with a pick this year. But again, maybe more teams are comfortable with trading next year's pick, especially if they're getting an Eichel, because it might be lower depending on how they see Eichel fitting into that group and if they see him as helping the team becoming a contender next year.
Fiala, by the way, for me, he is just young enough to fit into what I think fits for the Buffalo Sabres. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be looking to project out, all right, who's going to help my team in 2, 3, 4 years? Who's going to be main staples? He just had his 25th birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
25, I'm good. 26, I'm a little hesitant. 27, I'm probably a no. But 25, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because in 3 years, that guy's going to be 28 years old. Hopefully, he would still be under contract. I obviously would want the prospects and the picks. The other thing about Minnesota is I think I'm okay getting a first-round pick next year from them.
Yeah.
I think with Eichel, they're a contender.
Yes.
But they don't have to be a top 10 team in the league next year.
No.
And it's a better draft class.
And if you think about it, if you put together enough assets, it's kind of similar with what the – I mean, again, I'm comparing football to hockey, which is kind of a cardinal sin, I guess, because it's two totally different sports. But you see what the Bills did and how Brandon Bean managed to go about the 2018 draft to try and trade up to get Josh Allen and eventually trade up to get Tremaine Edmonds. He had those assets. He had other pieces that he was able to finagle out there for other NFL teams and be able to swing deals to move up the draft board to go get the guys that they wanted. Maybe the Sabres are able to do something very similar next year. Maybe they have a top five pick again next year because they are a bottom five team in the NHL, like I think they're going to. They get the Minnesota pick, and let's just hypothetically say Minnesota gets the second round. They play well, but don't get past the second round, and it is, you know, the 23rd pick or something like that. Maybe then the Sabres can take that 23rd pick, another prospect or something like that, swing up, try and get closer and closer, and maybe Reinhart gets him another pick next year. They take both of those picks and try and trade up to get somebody of value to them. So, you know, I'd like to see the trades happen tonight just because you know then at that point that's the prospect you're getting going forward for that specific player in the trade. But at the same point, if teams are more comfortable making the trade for next year's first rounder to acquire Eichel, but yet the other assets that need to be in a trade are still there, then I'm fine with that.
And let's hear Gary Bettman is introducing the Arizona Coyotes here to make their ninth overall pick.
We'll make the ninth selection in the 2021 NHL draft for the Arizona Coyotes. Darryl, you're up.
The Arizona Coyotes are proud to select from the Edmonton Oil Kings, Dylan Guenther.
All right, Dylan Guenther, short and sweet by the Coyotes, by the way. They had a little, they had some scowls on their faces there. I'm not saying that's that they're angry.
I mean,
they lost their 11th pick.
That was a no-brainer for them. That was an absolute no-brainer because Dylan Guenther was the
you
was
had
the best
ninth,
of the remaining.
You?
I am eighth to the Kings.
That's right. Yep.
But I mean, the Kings used a great pick to get Brant Clark just to add to their amazing prospect pool. I mean, it really the Kings, their prospect pool from top to bottom is, I think, clearly the best in the NHL at this point. And Dylan Guenther goes to the Arizona Coyotes. Absolute no-brainer there. A guy that's got a great shot. He's got a great release. He finds ways to put the puck in the net no matter where he is on the ice, whether it's coming in on a breakaway rush, whether he's in that, like, Steven Stamkos area.
Because
he doesn't necessarily have, like, the greatest of a slap shot, but it's super, I mean, it's effective. Like, and it's only going to get better from here on out. I mean, every aspect of his shot is just really good, and I can only see it getting better and better as time goes on. But, you know, Guenther was the first overall pick in the WHL Bantam draft in 2018, I believe it was. So, I mean, there's a lot of high-end potential with this kid, too.
We're going to be hearing from Owen Power in a matter of minutes, and they're at the 10th pick. The Sabres are up in four selections. The 11th pick will be forfeited. Then it'll be Columbus, Calgary, and then Buffalo. And we're hearing from Owen Power in a minute. So this might be our last opportunity to talk about the 14th pick before it happens. Jesper Wallstedt is the highest selected player in your mock draft that is still on the board. But, like we just heard Paul talk about it, do you want to go goalie at 14? If it's not Wallstedt, who would you be going with the 14th pick?
I'm sticking with my mock draft and going with a guy like Chaz Lucius from the U.S. NDTP. Just, again, he's a center, and he scores goals from down the middle. And he could do a little bit of everything. And, you know, he's going to be going to Minnesota. He's going to be playing for the Golden Gophers. Another year or two with Minnesota to allow him to flourish with his game a little bit in order to get a little more comfortable playing against bigger competition and tougher competition from going from the U.S. development program to college hockey. It's going to be a little tough, but It's interesting. And
would you take him over Wallstedt if you were the Sabres? It's a tough one.
Yes. Hold on here. I'm seeing something on Twitter. I don't know.
Do we have
something maybe potentially with Jack Eichel?
Who are we hearing this from, though? Let's go to we're not going to Owen Power just yet.
Nick Merica. Man, I feel bad. He's the guy with the Gordie Howe Whalers image photo, and he's got another Whalers photo as his. I don't know how credible this is.
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen things from him in the past, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
We'll get you an update on if that's actually a thing, but let's go to Owen Power here with the Buffalo media.
Sure, over the last few months, you have probably thought about this moment a few times. How did the actual moment live up to those expectations and I guess those thoughts that you had leading up to it?
I think it's pretty special. Just being able to have a bunch of my family behind me and kind of celebrate with me, I think was pretty special, and even better than the way I thought it was going to turn out.
Oh, and I read this morning that you used to take trips up to Buffalo to watch the Leafs, and you know, you've been to the city several times. And I guess, what are those memories like, and what do you remember about coming to Buffalo for any hockey-related things over your life?
I always remember my mom and my aunts loved going down for the shopping, and we'd always go see games. So the family always looked forward to those trips and had a lot of fun down there.
Owen, two questions for you. First of all, did you have any indication, you know, was there any word from Buffalo ahead of tonight that you were going to be their pick? And second of all, what are your impressions of the organization you're joining, just based on the players that you expect to be around? Darlene, Cousins, just to name a few.
I didn't know until they called my name, so I was kind of hoping, but for the team, I think they got a lot of young prospects and I think a promising future. So I'm excited for what's to come.
Owen, can you kind of tell us about the scene at your home? I assume that's your home. Just how many people are there and just what you experienced in that moment and what it was like sharing it with everyone?
So it's actually at one of my aunt's house. But there's about 60 people here, mostly family, some friends and then some old coaches. So I think it was awesome just being able to experience with them. Unfortunately, the whole family, not all my cousins can make it. So obviously it would have been nice to have all of them, but I think it turned out great.
And you're in Mississauga right now?
Actually Burlington, which is like 20 minutes away.
Owen, John Worrell with the Associated Press. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I've got two questions for you. And the first one is just the whole Michigan feel to this whole draft. And what was it like to see you get chosen? And right after you get picked, you know, your teammates go 2-4 and Luke gets and 2-5 and Luke gets picked fourth.
It was pretty special. I know all those guys real well. So just seeing all them go right after, I think was really, really cool to see. And I'm super excited for those guys.
And Maddie was talking about how you guys kind of joked about this maybe on some kind of a chat today about how special this would be. Could you have envisioned it being this special for the three of you guys who played together?
I think all of us kind of hoped that it turned out something like this. So just for it to actually turn out like this is, I think, pretty special. I don't think we really talked much about it until really today, where we set up a little group chat and kind of started talking about it. So I thought it was pretty, pretty cool.
Owen, last time we spoke, you had not talked to Kevin Adams or the Buffalo Sabres. After that meeting, what were your impressions of Kevin and the organization and just the meeting you had with them?
I thought I had a really good meeting. I thought the meeting went really well. So I felt real comfortable with them and like where they're heading.
Hi, Adam Bedini, WGRZ TV, Buffalo. Owen, congratulations. I got a couple of questions for you. First is, you've talked about, you know, considering or maybe leaning toward going back to Michigan. Where do you stand on that and right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably same, but I haven't talked to anyone from the Buffalo organization about it yet. So I think that's something we'll have to worry about later, but I think for tonight, I'm just trying to enjoy it with my family and friends and kind of not worry about it.
All right, tell me just a little bit, I guess I'll follow up then by asking, how ready do you feel to play at the NHL level?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could step in and play. So I don't think the decision will be whether or not I'm ready to play. I think it's whether or not what's better for my development at the end of the day. So I don't think there's really a bad option. And like I said, I think that's something we got to figure out later.
All right, thank you. Congratulations.
Hi, Owen. John Vogel with The Athletic. Congratulations. You mentioned some of the young players that Buffalo has. The most prominent is Rasmus Dahlin. I know it's not going to happen tomorrow, but can you envision what kind of 1-2 punch the two of you can have here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's a really talented player, and he's still young, so he's got so much room to grow still. So I think he's going to be a pretty special player. He already is a special player, and I think he's just going to keep getting better.
Hi, Owen. Andy Young here with Spectrum News One. How do you describe to Sabres fans the type of player that they're going to see over the next several years?
Yeah, I think I'm just a two-way defenseman. I could play in every situation. I could play the power play, penalty kill, last minute of the game, no matter what the score is, if we're winning or losing. So just someone who could play in all situations and log a lot of minutes.
What are some of the areas you're looking to improve as you decide to whether go to the NHL or play at Michigan again?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me is always just continuing to improve my skating and my footwork. So that's a big thing. And then I think with that comes a lot of things. I think I'll become better offensively and better defensively. So I think basing skating, then there's some little things being harder to play against and my scoring ability. So that's just some of the many things.
Oh, and congratulations. It's Kevin here from the Toronto Star. Going first overall is always real special, but I wonder if you can speak a little bit about your decision to go the U.S. college route. As a Canadian, typically players will go to the major junior route, but what is it about your decision and how you might guide other young teenagers to go that route?
Yeah, I think first off, my parents are really big in each one of their kids going to school. So I think that played a role. And then just, I think on the hockey side, you see if things don't work out, I think you got a little bit more time to develop in college. And if things do work, I think you go play college and you're playing against men, you got some pretty old guys you're going up against. So I just think for myself, it was a better route.
And a follow-up, how was your Team Canada experience in terms of your development there in Latvia?
Yeah, I mean, it was an unreal experience for me, I think. It was a great learning experience just being there. And then obviously winning the gold medal was really special.
Thank you.
Hi, Owen. Jake here from Trainwreck Sports in Buffalo. Congrats on being the first overall selection. Welcome to Buffalo. We're excited to have you. When you were growing up, watching hockey, falling in love with the game, obviously, who are some of the players that you watched a lot and, you know, kind of caused you to become so in love with it and make it your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was really young, I always loved Crosby, but as I started to get older and kind of watch more to develop my game, I think I started looking at a lot of the top D in the NHL, especially I think Victor Hedman's probably my favorite guy to watch. So I think he's the best defenseman in the NHL right now. And so I think he's the best for me to watch.
Owen, as you know, your goaltender, Eric Portillo, is a draft choice of the Buffalo Sabres. What can you tell us about Portillo? What kind of goalie is? What kind of person is he?
Yeah, I actually live with him this year at school, so I got to know him pretty well. And, I think a really good guy. He's pretty funny. And then just for goaltending wise, I think he's an unbelievable goalie. He's real big and moves really well, and I think he reads the plays incredibly. So I think he's a pretty special player.
Okay, thank you, Owen. So, Owen, can you hold on the line for just a moment here?
All right, well, Owen's going to hang on the line, but we're not, because we've got to get to the Sabres' upcoming selection. Calgary is on the board at 13. The picks we have missed, the last one that you heard before we went to power was Dylan Gunther, ninth overall to the Coyotes. Tyler Boucher goes 10th to Ottawa. Then you had the pick forfeited by the Arizona Coyotes at 11. Cole Sillinger, who we talked about earlier in the show, goes 12th to Columbus. And Calgary's now on the clock at 13. Sabres on deck at 14. The most interesting pick in the last couple is got to be Tyler Boucher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tyler Boucher is the son of Brian Boucher, the NBC, now ESPN NHL, Inside the Glass reporter. And he, he's a kid that just played at the U.S. development program, and let's just say he was not even close to being ranked as a top prospect in this year. The highest ranking he got was 29 from Bob McKenzie. He got 25th as the North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting, and that's about it. Boucher, this past year at the U.S. development program, played 12 games with the under-18 team, had 6 goals, 5 assists, and he's set to go to Boston University next year.
Ranked 45th by Elite Prospects, mm-hmm. 93rd by FC Hockey, 29th, as you mentioned, by Bob McKenzie, 63rd by McKean's Hockey, 49th by Craig Button, 25th by NHL Central Scouting, but that's only among North American skaters,
yep.
57th by Draft Prospects Hockey, and 51st by the Puck Authority. And I immediately ran to the joke on Twitter that Pierre McGuire has only been in Ottawa a week, and they're reaching for the sons of guys he worked with at NBCSN.
Oh, yeah.
not a great pick. It seems, by most people's account. And then you had Cole Sillinger go a couple of picks later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little disappointed that the Sabres aren't going to get their hands on him with the 14th pick. But a guy I was already very interested in going in, I'm still interested to know if they would even select him. But the Russian center, Svechkov, he is still on the board. And I wonder if the Sabres would even take him. Fedor Svechkov, who played in the VHL in Russia. Great two-way center. It sounds like he's got all the tools you would want, but the Sabres just don't invest in prospects from that part of the world.
They don't.
Really, in the last decade.
They really don't.
I mean, Nikita Zadorov is really the last time they put a real asset into it. I know they drafted Vasily Glatov, but that was like a seventh-round pick.
Right, and he was playing in the QMJHL at the time.
Right. So I don't know. What's their...
Nikita Zadorov at the same time, he was playing in London.
And Zadorov was playing in London, you're right. So
Grigorenko was playing in the queue.
When's the last time they drafted a guy who was playing over in Russia? Do we know that answer? Because this would be unprecedented in recent memory.
I mean, I might literally throw it to Marek Zagrapan, depending on where he was. I don't remember where he actually did play at the time he got drafted.
Was overseas, I'm pretty sure, if I remember right. I know Max Afinogunov played over there, but that is 25 years ago at this point. A lot of the top guys are off the board. I'm sorry. The top guy that's available on most people's rankings is the goalie.
I have a guy that they drafted who is a Russian. By the way, I just thought of him. Vasily Glotov.
Yes, we mentioned him, but he was in the queue.
And when they did draft Marek Zagrapan, he was playing in the queue.
That's right.
Maybe Afinogunov is the last one. That was 25 years ago.
I don't know.
It worked out pretty well. Should go back to it. It worked out pretty well. He's like 15th all-time scoring for your team. We've mentioned him a couple times. Jesper Wallstedt, the goaltender from the SHL, in many people's rankings, he is still the top player on the board, and he is still there. But it's kind of like drafting a running back in football. You can kind of get those guys anywhere. And the Sabres have highly touted prospects in the organization in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Erik Portillo. And maybe you get back around to bringing Linus Ullmark back into the organization. We'll see when he tests the open market. But I don't know. It just seems like a lot to invest that much in a goaltender. The pick is in for the Calgary Flames. Atu Ratti, you talked about him earlier, too. Let's go to Calgary before I ask you about him.
Calgary Flames general manager Brad Treliving will be joined by Ted Button, the director of amateur scouting. Brad, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Gary. The Calgary Flames are proud to select with our first pick in the 2021 NHL Draft from the Clark Cup champion Chicago Steel, Matthew Coronato.
All right, Matthew Coronato from the Chicago Steel, a player that you talked about liking earlier today. He goes 13th overall to the Calgary Flames. You disappointed that he wasn't there for the Sabres?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to have him fall to the Buffalo Sabres.
It's setting up for the guy, though, that you mocked them with, Chaz Lucius.
It very well is, and I mean, they could go Wallstat here. I mean, he's the last player I think that I have that's still remaining on the board. I thought he would have been drafted by now. But
it would be the most interesting pick.
That's the whole point of mock drafts, though. You make up these picks and you put guys here, you put guys there, and you really truly never know until it actually happens. I mean, unless you have like really good inside information, which, you know, I don't necessarily have good information on what team's picking who. You just kind of go off instinct in terms like that. But, you know, Coronato would have been a really nice fit for the Sabres. He would have been a guy that I would have loved to have seen wearing the Sabres uniform just because of the dynamic playmaker he sort of became this year and just how much of an impact player he was with Chicago. So, Sabres are on the clock now with pick number 14 overall. They have 4 minutes left on the clock. And, I mean,
it's all goes. I'm so glad they're even in the spot.
Yeah.
So happy. I'm so glad that at the beginning of the day, it was like, all right, let's see how today goes. I'm not super optimistic, but I'm hopeful.
Right.
Could have never imagined that Eichel and Reinhardt would still be on this team and they'd be picking 14th.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. Such a great deal they pulled off with Ristolainen earlier today.
Oh, for sure.
I think it really does rival the Paul Gostad trade.
Oh, by a mile.
You
by
think it beats
mile.
It?
When
I think they're close, but you think by a mile?
Who posted this earlier today? The comparisons between Gostad's stats with the Sabres and with Risto's stats? Ben Mathewson. He posted the 11-12 season of Gostad compared to 19-20 and 21 overall stats. And like Paul Gostad is ranked much better with these stats. Rasmus Ristolainen, and it just doesn't even compare anymore. It doesn't compare.
It's amazing. Ristolainen, he finished his career with the Sabres sixth all time in franchise history for points by a defenseman.
Yeah, here.
I mean, it's a lot of volume, I know, but what are we looking at here? This is the stat comparison by Ben Mathewson.
Yeah.
There's
so much red with Ristolainen compared to Gostad.
Gostad's just kind of like, he's status quo. Yeah. Like, he's along the even line.
You hope to see that from a fourth-line center.
Man. It sucks that it went this way with Ristolainen, because there are so few athletes that'll give you anything in the media, and he was always a straight shooter with that. And even though I don't think he was a valuable player in any way to the Buffalo Sabres, he was fun to watch. Like, you have to admit that. He was fun to watch. It was fun to watch Brad Marchand lose his mind every time he played Rasmus Ristolainen. But it just didn't correlate to anything in results.
The best version of Risto we ever got was when he played the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was always the best you got out of Risto.
When he played Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah. But
he was a guy that took Ovechkin out of the game, which was nice, but didn't always work that well.
The thing with Ristolainen is I just think from the moment he was put here, it's just not put in a good situation. Always got the top minutes as soon as he was here, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, the Sabres pick is in, according to the television graphic on ESPN2. I don't have a tweet from Bob McKenzie, and I promise I will not spoil if Bob McKenzie does spoil it for us. So if you don't want to see who the pick is before the Sabres and Kevin Adams make their announcement, then mute Bob McKenzie on Twitter, because he's the guy. He's the guy today that's doing that. So Coronato was the last pick, 13th to Calgary. Cole Sillinger to the Blue Jackets. Tyler Boucher at 10. Was not thinking he was going to be an option for the Sabres.
No.
Anyway,
no.
The pick is so interesting because it's forward versus goaltender. And goaltender might be the best prospect on the board, but are you the team that's going to be willing to invest that asset? And it would be interesting if they did it, but I don't want to be the team that does it. I never want to be the team that does that. I want to pick and choose my goalies along the way, look for buy lows, value, guys I can pay $3 to $4.5 million. They can come in and play 50 games for me, pair with him another guy that makes $2.5-3 million, and I'll get by, and I'll be good in that a lot of times that way. You draft Jesper Wallstedt, 14th overall, and he's great? That's great. Then I got to pay a goalie huge money. I know I'm looking way down the road for this, but I don't even want to begin going down that road. And it would be interesting if they did it, and it's a way to win in the league. It is a way to win in the league. But I think the smart people that are running organizations these days are not drafting goalies in the first round, and then they're not paying them, you know, Carey Price level contracts.
Right.
So I don't think I want them to do that. I want them to draft Chad Lucius, who you mentioned as the guy that you had going there.
Svechkov
would be fine. I want them to go forward. I want them to replenish the forward.
Even an Atu Ratu.
Yes.
If they get Atu Ratu, he's a guy with a ton of potential. He just still needs to kind of hone in everything with his game, but he would interest me a lot.
Is there anybody else other than the names we haven't mentioned you could see them going with?
Let me see.
Fabian Lysell, who you had going a few picks later.
Fabian Lysell would be a great, great addition. Again, he's a speed guy. You talk about like Max Afinitgenov with speed. Like Lysell would probably be a guy that could probably compare to like Max.
Don't you
Afinitgenov
dare make
speed.
That comparison, because he'll be my guy for life if you make that comparison.
He'll be your new Max. You'll be naming your other dog Fabian.
Yes, Fabian will be the next dog's name. All right, well, I'm hoping they go forward. Any chance they would go a defenseman here? I don't think there's really anyone worth it.
I mean, they certainly could.
Carson Lambos was the
Carson Lambos, and then Corson Kuhlemans would probably be the top defensive prospects remaining on the board at this point. And then after that, it kind of drops off even more.
Anton Olsen from the SHL, it's probably a reach.
Yeah,
if they were to
probably
do that.
A reach. So you're probably looking forward here. I'd recommend center, and here we go.
Here's the Sabres
14th
pick.
14th selection, we return to KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York, where the Sabres will make their second pick of the first round. Jerry Fortin, Director of Amateur Scouting, will be making the pick.
The Buffalo Sabres are pleased to select from Leksand in the Swedish Hockey League, Isaac Rosen. Yeah!
Jerry Fortin makes the pick. Isaac Rosen. I don't think we mentioned him.
No, we did not. Not necessarily a surprising pick here. I mean, Rosen was projected to be a first rounder. He's on the NHL graphic. He's listed as the number 25 prospect in the NHL draft. Here's some of the rankings that they have for Isaac Rosen here on EliteProspects.com. Number 21 consolidated ranking, number 24 by Elite Prospects. So FC Hockey has him 16, so two picks off. Let's see, Bob McKenzie, 18, McKean's Hockey, 18, Craig Button, 28. Number 8 for European skaters in the international skaters by Central Scouting. 16 by Sportsnet, 16 by Dauber Prospects, 17 by Smot Scouting. And, yeah, so maybe it's a little bit of a reach to take Isaac Rosen with the number 14 pick, but, Cam Robinson with the Elite Prospects, with the draft guide that he writes, this is the description that he wrote. He collects most pucks mid-stride. His handling and skating forms are nearly impeccable. He'll send false signals between the blue liners to move the feet of opposing defenders, cutting east-west and using the dotted line. He'll fake weight shifts, shoulder shimmy, and just overpower hapless defenders. So definitely seems more like a almost sounds like a power forward sort of thing, but it certainly more of kind of like the shifty playmaker sort of winger. He's 5'11", 161 pounds from Stockholm, Sweden. So the Sabres go Swedish again. Another Swede.
They go Swedish again. I like that they went forward. He is a winger.
Yep.
But I like that they go forward. A lot of good Josh Rosen jokes being made on Twitter right now. We're going to take a timeout in just a second
here.
He's
the wrong Rosen.
I am also seeing, so he didn't put up almost any production, actually really didn't, at the SHL last year. Just one assist in 22 games. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people making the point that he played like no ice time, like under 10 minutes a night.
Yeah.
So don't take a lot of his stats.
And Leksand is not really a dynamic team in the Swedish Hockey League, too.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We're late to the break. Sabres pick Isaac Rosen with their 14th overall pick, and we'll continue on. We'll hear from him, I'm sure, soon as well here. Jody Biasi, Brayton Wilson. Continuing draft coverage is next here on WGR. Gotta love when TJ's on the board. Just some jams all night. Welcome back. NHL draft coverage continues on. Joe DiBiase, Brayton Wilson, and TJ Luckman hanging out here on WGR. Our coverage of the NHL draft is brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this, by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. No surprise with the first overall pick for the Buffalo Sabres selecting Owen Power. Little bit of a surprise, though. They take Isaac Rosen of the SHL with the 14th pick in the first round.
That they do. They go out and get Rosen, who he played with Leksands in the Swedish Hockey League this past year. He played a little bit with their junior league, and as we were talking a little bit before the last break, didn't get a lot of playing time with the main team in Leksands, and perhaps this upcoming year, maybe he earns a full-time spot and gets a little more ice time. Here's what Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey had to write about Isaac Rosen. We've had Ryan on a couple of times, especially in the morning show on WGR. Here's what he had to write. Quote, he's an excellent skater. He has a very good first few steps and uses crossovers well to accelerate into turns. He changes direction well, but all motion is fluid and sleek. He can be shifty when need be, but he specializes in charging the puck up the ice. So he's a transitional guy.
Sebastian Kosa.
Oh.
Huge surprise by the Red Wings, who moved up from 23 to 15, and everyone thought it was for the goaltender, Jesper Wallstedt.
And it is a goaltender, but it's not Jesper Wallstedt.
Different goaltender. Now, there were other goalies that were projected to go first round, and mm-hmm. he was one of them.
Yeah, Sebastian Kosa was... There were some people that had Kosa above Wallstedt in their rankings. I personally did not, but mm-hmm. I mean, his game is, 19 games this year with Edmonton. He went 17-1-1.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
With
a 1.57 goals against and .941 save percentage, 4 shutouts.
Let's take a quick break here because the Rangers are just up on the clock. This is a potential Eichel trade location. So when we come back, we should know whether they're making the pick or not. I would assume they are, but we'll see. Joe DiBiase, Brayton Wilson, more next year on WGR. Welcome back to our continuing coverage here on WGR, round one of the NHL draft. It's brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. By Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. I had the opportunity in the break to watch some Isaac Rosen highlights. Did not really see a lot of him on video, just a lot of reading today. And you can see the dynamic skills on display, even just from a 2-3 minute YouTube highlight. Like, you can see like how quick the hands are, and the release is actually really good for a player that, well, I guess actually, if you look at his stats, he does have more goals than assists a lot of times.
Yeah. And, another stat to bring up from playing at the Under-18 World Championship this past year in Frisco, Texas, Rosen actually had a very good tournament. He was a goal per game player, 7 goals, 2 assists for 9 points in the 7 games that he played for Sweden.
And the New York Rangers are on the clock. Pick is in. It looks like they are making it, which would mean that pick is not involved in any Jack Eichel trade, which I am very happy about. So here's Gary Bettman.
Chris Drury. Chris?
The New York Rangers are proud to select from the Flint Firebirds, Brennan Othman.
All right. Brendan, who was the pick they just made?
Sorry, I'm trying to
Brendan
get a
Othman.
Quick play.
Sorry, Brendan Othman is who they selected.
Another guy that went over to Switzerland to play this year because the OHL was shut down for the year due to COVID-19.
He's a little further down the board, so I missed him. He's 27th in Steve Cornianos' rankings, at least.
Yeah,
I think maybe only a little bit.
I think he was ranked 8th by the North American Central Scouting. So. I mean, certainly a guy who's definitely more of a playmaker. They're showing some highlights right now. He's definitely got a good shot to his game, but certainly a guy that was expected to go in this sort of range for the NHL draft this year. But no real surprise here, I would say.
Has Chris Drury aged a day since he's left Buffalo, by the way?
Doesn't look like it.
He looks the exact same as he did
He's in pretty good shape.
15 years ago.
Yep. He's still, he's looking pretty good.
He could probably be a player/general manager for them at this point.
I mean, he probably could. They're going to need, they're not getting Jack Eichel to play down the middle. At least at this point. Would this be a guy that you would be throwing into potential Jack Eichel trades tomorrow if there's no deal done by the end of the night? I think probably, just given their prospect pool.
Sure, they could.
They could. Sorry, I got to turn on my mic.
But anyways, there's two teams left that I'm monitoring by the end of the night for a Jack Eichel trade, because the Rangers are done. And of course, any team can make a deal involving a pick next year. But if there's a pick that's involved in this year's draft, the two teams got to be Minnesota and Vegas.
Yep.
We haven't really had any reports connecting Vegas to Eichel. It's more speculation and just really looking over their roster and looking at what they need. They need an elite number one center like a Jack Eichel. But those are two later first-round picks that you are getting for either guy. So we'll see. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back top of the hour, the 10 o'clock hour. The Sabres are done for the night with first-round picks, barring a trade. We're at 17 overall with the St. Louis Blues, and I'm sure we'll hear from Isaac Rosen coming up in the next hour. So stay tuned for all of that. Paul Hamilton will rejoin us at some point as well. Joe DiBiase and Brayton Wilson. More NHL draft coverage next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.